So hi, this is about the requirements. Next, please. I'm Sebastian, editor of this draft, but I wish to thank to the long list of people who have contributed to this. There's also related research projects. Next, please. So what I'm going to talk today is about changes since the last version. So I tried to incorporate all the feedback that I received in the Minneapolis session. And then I'd like to discuss some chapters which have had major changes. Next, please. So the changes in overview. So again, we've pretty much worked in the terminology. So this has also been gone to the problem statement draft. So there you can actually find the definitions of the terminology. But this is very beneficial for this document to make it clearer. And also one important thing is most of the requirements were about actually one specific interface, and now that we have names for all the interfaces, it was easier to make this clear. I've removed pretty many requirements which were very specific and also reordered them and sorted them, so it's, I hope that the document is pretty much clearer now. And the last point is very important. In addition to the requirements for the protocol, I added a longer discussion of possible attributes that can be used inside the protocol for expressing the recommendations. Next, please. So here you can see the table of contents, the main chapters. You see there's more subsections, and so basically the sections 4 and 5 are completely new. I'll go to them in a second. Next, please. To make things even more clearer, in the beginning I added section 2 about say some kind of framework architecture. So this working group has no explicit framework architecture document. The problem statement gives a very brief overview. Here I wanted to go a little bit more into detail because these ideas that are shown here are then used in the requirements. This chapter as such is intended not to be normative, so all which is illustrated here will be explained in the later sections again as text, but I think this is more clear, this picture. So, but nevertheless, the question I'd ask is whether this section is actually useful. Do you want to comment?
I do have one comment, actually. Yeah, I think that the terminology does the right thing, which is just points to the problem statement document where it's defined. And I think there may be synchronization issues going forward with it just from the things that are in the preliminary portion of that. But the diagrams are nicer diagrams. So.
Okay, thank you.
Next, please. I would do less.
Next, please. Okay, so the first subsection of the requirements regarding the Alto client protocol are only 3 requirements which basically say that client and server must implement the protocol and the interfaces, and that the protocol has to be defined somewhere else and must address all these requirements given here. So here again a question to the group but also to the chairs is, should the wording assume that there's exactly one Alto client protocol which will be the eventual outcome of this working group, or should the wording stay like any protocol claiming to be Alto compliant must, and so on? Any opinions?
No one wants to comment on that?
Even if there's only one right now, there'll be another one.
Comment is, even if there's only one right now, there will be another one in the future. Lisa, what's your understanding of that? Are we here to pick one protocol, or is pluralism possible?
It's certainly always possible to find a way to do the right thing. I suspect working on 2 completely different protocols would require some careful looking at the charter and most likely a charter diff of some kind. Am I misremembering it? But that's fine if that's the right thing to do. I'm not really sure. Mm-hmm. This requirement seems a little either obvious or wrong, and it's impossible to tell what until you see what does it.
So the charter cannily casts this in terms of service rather than protocol. And it says that the working group will design and specify an Altos service that will provide applications with X, Y, and Z. So that is a good weasel for this. I mean, I think at this stage it would be premature for us to clamp down, I suspect, on this and to insist that we're going to converge on just one thing. But maybe as time goes forward, we will.
Yeah, Richard Bennett, I just want to agree with you. I'm not suggesting the working group should develop multiple protocols right now. But as far as any framework-y type stuff goes, there should be a recognition that, you know, there might be another version in the future of this one protocol.
Okay, thank you. Next, please. So the next page here gives a brief overview on all the requirements regarding the protocol semantics. Nothing much has changed here. Nevertheless, any questions or comments on that? I try to incorporate all the discussions from the mailing lists, so I hope this should be fine. Vijay, next, please. With regard to overload control and error handling, pretty much has changed. You remember there was this longer section which didn't explicitly state it, but implicitly assumed a UDP-like protocol, and I think this was pretty much criticized. So, and also Lars has advised us to explicitly state to use TCP-based transport, and I've incorporated that, so this is the main change here. In addition to this, or still remaining, is a requirement that there must be mechanisms where a server can explicitly state that it's overloaded, so it's not only about using some kind of TCP-based pushback, but it should also be able to tell the clients that they should do throttle the load.
Anja Feldmann from TU Berlin. One question I have here is, must use TCP in the error case or must always use TCP?
So the wording as it stands here is now rather clear, and this was what was recommended by the transport area people last time, and
I think there's a problem here because just being in that one use case that you labeled earlier, mm-hmm. if you have tons and tons of clients querying a single server and they all have to set up TCP connections, that can become a substantial bottleneck, and I seriously disagree with this requirement.
Martin Stiemerling, I'm a working group chair out of the transport area, and also remember the last ITF working group chair training lunch where the transport AD says, well, UDP for using is actually not an option anymore because it should not be regarded as a transport protocol. It's just yet another encapsulation. And I think that to say, well, you don't use TCP, you need to come up with a lot of good reasons why you're not using TCP. Otherwise, the protocol won't make it to the ISG. And I also don't see any reason here not to use TCP.
I guess the main reason I have in mind is because TCP requires the three-way handshake, and the extra delay that you're introducing by doing it would be quite substantial for every one of the clients actually requesting any information.
Couldn't the client just open a connection?
But I guess we have to probably take this offline and discuss this.
Okay. Okay, so I also propose to take this offline. So next, please. A new section, which is now about the discovery. This is overlaps a little bit with these other two drafts that have been published only recently. So it's not only about that we need to carry information between Alto client and server, but we first have to find a server. So I think the requirements given here are very clear. Something that came to my mind when I already had submitted the thing, and which also I believe is missing in these drafts regarding the discovery, is the question if you have some tracker or similar device that wants to do third-party queries on behalf of a client. So how does this one find the right Alto server? Because the information might be distributed over several servers. So I think here is still work needed, and I would appreciate input, especially from those people working on solutions where the Alto recommendation is not directly sent to the client, but goes to a tracker or similar device. And also, I think here's still some discussion needed with those people who have started to write drafts about this discovery. Next, please. Security, again, not much has changed. There were some things where it was discussed whether there were some points which said about the granularity of requests and so on. There were questions, is this actually security? Maybe not, so I moved them to the protocol semantic section. Next, please. So this was all about the protocol and the discovery of the protocol. The requirements document is supposed to list two more things which are not directly related to a protocol mechanics, but actually information attributes. One thing is host location attributes as we have defined them. So no matter how the actual protocol mechanics works, the idea of Alto is that a client wants to have possible resource providers being rated, and so he needs to express it in some way which possible candidates should be rated. And we have defined the word host location attribute to be an extra abstract term, because this can be an IP address or an autonomous system number or whatever. And several of them have been discussed. And now the question is, how do we move forward? So one proposal would be that the working group should, in the upcoming time, define an initial set of such attributes. And depending on how the query protocol will be implemented, define some kind of suitable encoding. And then an option would be to establish some kind of registry where additional attributes can register in the future. So far from reading all the drafts, I've basically found three types of these attributes. One is IP addresses or address ranges. The other is autonomous system numbers. And the third one is some kind of macro or group ID, which are defined using IP addresses and autonomous system numbers. So regarding this whole issue here, I have two questions. So do you feel this proposal is reasonable for this process? So how likely is it that we will come up with additional identifiers beyond IP addresses and autonomous system numbers, which would make all this mess with registry reasonable? Or can it be foreseen that these two types of information are actually all we need?
Ted Hardy speaking. I believe that you will need more than that over time. Certainly, you could get far more granular with that, even if you were sticking to just IP-based mechanisms. At this point, an autonomous system, for example, can have a very large number of other things within it, within the routing system, ISIS areas or something like that, that would cause you to say, if somebody actually had full knowledge of the local routing, they might actually want to do these. So I don't think that there's any way we can determine at this point that this is an exhaustive list, even if you presume it. The other thing that I was going to ask is it your presumption that if somebody's using group ID in a macro, that the protocol for resolving what the group ID maps to is the same protocol as the Alto protocol?
So that was my assumption so far.
Okay. So in other words, any requirements for that protocol belong in this document?
Right. Or we could say this is an implementation specific, so an Alto client protocol can include some kind of mechanism to define macros, which will be then used in other messages of the same protocol.
Well, so the problem with that I have is, let's say that I say, okay, I'm going to give you this information using this nice interoperable protocol, but I'm going to give it to you in terms of a group ID, where now you have to know something proprietary to go off and figure out how to find the mapping server that tells you what that actually means. I haven't actually made a whole lot of progress. And
sure.
If people are concerned to do that and want to make just that amount of progress, I can easily be flattened by consensus. But it doesn't strike me as useful as it might be.
Okay, just to be clear, of course the assumption is we will have other documents which specify protocols, and inside this protocol specification, we can have the option for some kind of groups.
Then let me suggest that we make a different decision than the one you just said and say requirements for any mapping protocol actually belong in the protocol specifications for these and would not be captured here.
Thank you.
John Leslie. I wanted to make it clear that AS number by itself is not terribly useful without knowing your location in the network. So establishing that as a primary attribute is not helpful unless there is also a way of determining what it means to you. So I think that you definitely need to be able to add attributes beyond okay. AS number.
Thank
definitely.
You.
Stanislav Shulanov. It's great if we build an extensible protocol, and it should be extensible, obviously, and it should be possible to carry all sorts of information in the future, and there should be an obvious way to add new types of information. But while there is no need to build an exhaustive list of what's needed in the initial version, we need something that can make things work. And IP address ranges and perhaps AS numbers are an excellent start.
Richard Young, and I think I'm going to give a presentation shortly, and as we'll argue, it's very important to have a very flexible, extensible group IDs for the scalability of the scheme. So definitely, we should maintain flexibility here, and that's crucial.
Okay, thank you. Next. So, and the second big building block for the information that is conveyed in the protocol is the rating criteria. So. Again, the Alto server expresses some kind of recommendation by giving some information about these candidate resource providers. And what I've done here so far is that I collected a list of rating criteria that have been proposed in other drafts on the mailing list or in other discussions. So again, here I think it's even more clear that we need some kind of mechanism to have the protocol extensible, because here there are much more candidates that can be seen, and this gives an initial list and solicits further feedback. There's not so many slides to come. So this is already the conclusion. So you've seen I've cleaned up pretty much the document according to the feedback that I received. New are these two lists of the host location attributes and the rating criteria. I think there's more discussions needed here, which I'm looking forward. And the last thing is I would ask what should be the next steps. So do you feel this is going in the right direction? And if so, what is the level of abstraction which we should be at the end? So should we try to finish or to make this document nicer and make it more complete at this level of abstraction, or and publish it rather soon, or should this go into a, should we work another some years on it and go much more into details regarding the requirements?
I feel pretty strongly about not publishing it soon, because sometimes things that seem perfectly reasonable turn out to be a little more effort or just not needed, or there's another way to do it that isn't worded in the requirements. And I just hate to see people lock themselves into, and you get terrible arguments if something's published okay. and it's locked you into something that you've thought better of. You know, it takes people mm-hmm. a long time to get past that. So as long as this is editable, I think it's fine for it to make a lot of assumptions about how things are probably going to work, and then if there's yeah. If anybody thinks better, it's still modifiable.
Let me reword the question. It's maybe not about really publishing, so finalizing it and keeping everything, but the question is this the right level of abstraction?
Hi, about the multiple protocol thing, right? I'm not sure how that can really help the working group, right? I mean, I can have a protocol that meets all these requirements and not be interoperable with some other protocol. People have a real problem, so you're basically asking clients to implement a plethora of protocols and servers and have a matrix. I mean, protocols take years to stabilize and be interoperable. So now I agree with what he said about having new versions of a certain protocol. Now, having multiple protocols, that sounds strange to me.
Okay. Dave Crocker, this is, I think, keying off of what Lisa was saying in some sense. Not what she was saying in some sense, but I'm keying off of it in some sense. a requirements statement, especially in the early stages, has a challenge to distinguish between the what versus the how. My sense is that this mixes them. And so something like a declaration of using TCP is an example of a how. And it's not clear why that's the right choice. On the other hand, I suspect that there was some logic behind saying TCP, some functional desires, which were higher level, more abstract, and probably more interesting to talk about at this stage of development. And it may lead to the fact that the group looks at those functional desires and goes, yes, those are the desires we have. And a quick search for available technologies to solve it shows that TCP is the only way to get there. But having a requirements document in an early stage, it jumps to that kind of specific. Similarly, having a list of criteria that have been suggested is extremely helpful for talking about the kinds of criteria that might be used, but probably not something to make a requirement right now, whereas, just as you, I think, imply, maybe more concretely than that, specifying that there needs to be an extensible support of criteria sounds like a requirement, which is, again, a kind of what, without constraining it down to particular hows. And it may well help the discussion about requirements quite a lot to try to distinguish between the functional goals versus the details.
Stanislav Shulanov. I agree with what Lisa said, and the requirements document should be a working group, working document, should remain editable, modifiable, on the table. We have not yet reached consensus on what the working group wants to do. So if we publish the requirements document will become a tool in arguing over that consensus instead of us having the ability to see what's right, change the requirements if something slipped in that we didn't really intend.
There was certainly an implication in that statement that we might want to consider this as a document that would satisfy the charter deliverable for a requirements document here. Are there people here that have any strong feeling that at this point this document would not be a good baseline to start with? This obviously does not mean anything here is set in stone. And as far as I know, there are not other people with a requirements document waiting in the wings that will try to, you know, target the same deliverable. So can I take a hum if there are no objections on that, of whether we're going to take this as a working group item? Mm-hmm. All opposed? Great. Thanks.